Welcome back, everybody. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin playing an interesting mix here. You know that new song by Megan Thee Stallion? Well, it's not new, but the collaboration she did with Beyonce. You don't know this?
No. I don't know any new music. I'm so out of touch with that. I've heard of Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay.
I've obviously known Beyonce.
All right.
But I don't know the song.
She did a song that's basically been the song of the summer, if you will. My son started rapping that in the backseat.
Really?
My 10-year-old. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is it a clean song?
I don't know.
Is it age appropriate?
You can check it out. Well, I don't know about that either. I was just kind of stunned by
On that note, how have you been jamming with your other son much lately?
Yes, I have been.
Is he an unofficial part of the band yet, or what?
Would you ever consider that? Whiskey's Quicker has a very, very good bass player. Would I ever consider it, like, you know, kicking my bass player out to put my son in the band?
Yeah.
Who do I look like, Eddie Van Halen to you?
Remember, Bruce Springsteen put his wife in the band.
Here's what you have to understand. Okay, I'm very blessed to have my oldest son be an accomplished bass player at a very young age, almost prodigy level. Because I've got somebody I can jam with, right? But you have to understand from his perspective. He's 17 now. He doesn't want to jam with
you're
his
right.
dad.
What could be worse than that?
Right, what could be worse than that?
My
right?
dad and his middle-aged, long-haired, freaky friends. No, thank you. Yeah, it's a good point.
Exactly, good Carlin. Point. All right, the Patrick Mahomes story has got a lot of interesting little anecdotes that have gone along with it, including UMBC Athletics, which I believe is University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
That's correct.
Okay.
Most famous, of course, for upsetting Virginia, right? Wasn't that the team that...
I don't remember that.
The number one...
Is that right?
Were they the team that beat the number one seed the first ever 16?
You tell me. That's your neighborhood, mm-hmm. Carlin.
Yep.
All right, they tweeted out, "Hey, Patrick Mahomes, we accept donations." That's kind of interesting. The best story, though, that came out of this whole thing is how this story was broken yesterday. Adam Schefter reported that Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year extension late in the afternoon yesterday, okay? But he did not have it first. Apparently, a young girl by the name of Katie Camlin, all right, tweeted out at 1:21 p.m. Eastern time, 90 minutes prior to Adam Schefter, that the Chiefs were going to sign Patrick Mahomes to a long-term extension. And she did that. She did that because she works at a place called Plaza Liquor in Kansas City. And her boss told her that Chiefs employees had come into the liquor store asking for 6 bottles of Dom Perignon, really pricey champagne. So she, being a extremely diehard Chiefs fan, went on Twitter after hearing that and tweeted, quote, "A front office employee for the Chiefs came in and bought 6 bottles of Dom Perignon. Said there's a big signing today. He said it's not Chris Jones, so my guess is a Mahomes deal," end quote. She deleted the tweet because she got real nervous about, should I be saying this?
Right.
Am I going to get
she
my boss?
Probably. What do you think? I mean, is that something that you should share?
I don't know. It's something celebratory. It's not something that's really sensitive. That you know what I mean? It's not. It's in a different realm. It's a feel good story for all of Kansas City. So the fact that Chiefs employees were not only willing and not that the organization was not only willing to spend $500 million on their quarterback, but they went out to buy Dom Perignon to celebrate.
Quarter billion on that. 6 bottles.
Right. Right, exactly. So in that situation, I don't know the ethics of that. I really don't. She said she was just guessing. She deleted everything, but then when it all happened, she was kind of vindicated. And she talked to the organization. They're like, "That's cool. We're all good. No, it's Kansas City. Everyone's nice there."
Yeah, that's true. It's right. The Midwest.
Right. Right.
Is that considered
a little different?
Midwest,
yeah,
I guess
I would
it is.
Say
Missouri.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The other big story was I saw that Frank Caliendo did it. Did you see this video?
No.
He posted a video of himself dressed up as Andy Reid dancing for about a minute straight.
Oh, no.
So I loved it.
How did I miss that? There was no talking along with that?
There was music.
Dancing?
It was Andy Reid's reaction to the Patrick Mahomes signing, and it's just him doing all kinds of dances. Unfortunately, Frank's not as fat as he used to be, so he doesn't look as much like Andy Reid as he could, but it was still a funny video. So I guess on just to go back real quick to the breaking news at the liquor store there, I guess that's the equivalent of, like, let's say you work at a zoo and you notice, you know, Kyler Murray comes to the zoo and you see him limping as he's walking between the walrus and the elephant. And you tweeted out, saw Kyler Murray.
Now you're invading someone's privacy.
So is this different than, because it's not, if it's not public knowledge yet.
She only guessed.
But that's almost irresponsible, more irresponsible.
But she's not a media
person. I guess it
person.
Doesn't really matter because it's not, it isn't, it's something positive. It's not something negative.
Yeah.
And you're not really jeopardizing anything.
And it's kind of cute. I think it's just the context of the moment and the deduction that she went through, being a huge fan, you know, thinking maybe it's Chris Jones, but no, it's not him. Yeah. He's not, you know?
That's true. What do you think of the actual contract now that you've seen the numbers?
All right. A couple things about that. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs look like they did a really smart thing with this deal. And I think that the fact that this money is spread out, it's big money, there's a lot of guaranteed money, but it's not like it's a huge annual wage. So if this were a short-term deal, 3 years, whatever, 100 million, 3 years, 110 million, something like 3 years, 120, let's just say that. Say the Chiefs went 40 mil for 3 years. We're going in big, but we're going in short-term to give ourselves an out. That would have really helped the other quarterbacks who are about to get paid, such as Dak Prescott and I think Deshaun Watson, then Lamar Jackson, then Kyler Murray. The fact that this is so big over so many years, I think it makes it easier on other teams to keep their own quarterbacks from the price of them from getting completely out of control, if that makes any sense. Patrick Mahomes, it's a ton of money for him. Obviously, he's happy he signed the deal. The Chiefs, I think if you were going to bet on anybody, this would be the guy. But I think that smart football people that I've read, Bill Barnwell being among them, said that when you look at the average salary that Patrick Mahomes is going to be making, it's the most in football, but it doesn't dwarf his nearest competitors. And the point is that Patrick Mahomes has done things in his first 3 years that nobody has ever done.
Right.
So he should be pushing that bar further.
Yeah, well, if it was a shorter-term deal, then maybe he would have. Maybe it would have been $50 million a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, $500 million, but just like you said, because yesterday we were speculating, oh, boy, what does this mean for Dak Prescott? What does this mean for Lamar Jackson? What does this mean for Deshaun Watson? Jeff Darlington on how the quarterback can't use Mahomes' contract for leverage.
Patrick Mahomes is in completely rarefied air that people won't necessarily be able to use his deal as a precedent for other deals. Lamar Jackson, I think, is probably the closest one if he can continue to kind of trend in the right direction. But what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished so far is unprecedented in the NFL, not just from a Super Bowl or an MVP, but statistically what he has done as well. So I just think that it's going to be very difficult for any quarterback, which is very strange and, again, also unprecedented, to be able to say, well, Patrick Mahomes got paid that, and to which the GM of that team will say, don't even bother comparing yourself to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Although I do feel that someone will make more per year, but the total contract will not be maybe not ever. Because the 10 years is so unusual in football, and it's so risky. He mentioned Lamar Jackson, but to give a Lamar Jackson any kind of super long-term deal is risky because of the way he plays. So I don't know.
No, well, that's my point here. Because when it's his time to get paid, the Baltimore Ravens are not going to give him a 10-year contract because he's not going to last that long. So they're going to give him a short-term contract. And if you wanted to kind of wage it out, the average annual wage of Patrick Mahomes' deal right now is $45 million. I think that's where the number comes out. That's not even the highest annual wage in the four major professional sports. You know who is?
No.
I was stunned by this. Damian Lillard.
Oh.
He signed a Supermax extension. The average worth of his deal is $49 million.
That's wild.
It is.
There's so much money in professional sports. Do
you
remember?
Did it wrong.
Now, you must remember when the first like $1 million per year contract came. It probably was in baseball.
Now, why do you say it like that? Like, you must remember that.
Because I don't
know who was the first. Maybe I do.
I don't remember it, but I just remember in the context of that was such a big deal at the time. Now players are making $50 million a year. I do think that Lamar Jackson, when he gets a new contract, if let's say he has another year like he had last year, it's going to be more per year than what Mahomes got.
Okay.
But it won't be close to the overall contract.
The highest paid player in baseball, Gerrit Cole at $36 million. The highest player in the NHL, Connor McDavid at $12.5 million average wage.
That's
when
what
you
a
see
drop
this,
off that is,
yeah,
huh?
No, I know. When you see this money, you know it's almost become cliche for people to make fun of the old school get off my lawn generation of athlete that likes to hate on the current modern athlete. Imagine this: say you were the most kick-ass athlete of your generation in the '50s, and the '60s, and the '70s. Say you were Bob Gibson, and we put out those numbers yesterday. Wouldn't you be bitter at the salary explosion? You look at that and you go, how is that even
bitter.
Remotely? Yes.
I'm not sure if you've heard.
They are. Well,
if you've heard any older players in any sport talk about the current
people. What I'm trying to say is, can't you understand their bitterness a little more when you look at what has happened to the salary structure in pro sports?
I
could imagine being a guy like Bob Gibson and just going, this is just a joke.
I do think, though, I think that even way back in like the 60s and the 70s, I do think that professional athletes, in comparison to the rest of society, I still think they made a good living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially the best players. Far back as Babe Ruth, you know, the famous quote is, you know, what do you have to say about you made more than the president of the United States last year?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I had a better year.
He had a better year.
Yeah. I mean, even way back then, athletes made more than normal society. It's just not as grotesque as it is now, but it's most jobs don't actually earn money. Also, like, the reason that Patrick Mahomes is making that much money is because the NFL is making that much money and the Chiefs are making that much money.
It's because they generate that kind of interest.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's like people get really
aggravated
at actors making $20 million
right.
a film, yet look at all the people who go and spend money based on that actor.
The Rock gets paid, you know, $40 million for a movie, but the movie makes $700 million.
Is that
million
what he gets now? He gets $40 million a picture?
I know. He's the highest paid actor, I know that. But when the movies are guaranteed to make hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, that's worth it. That's, to me, who do you think is more overpaid, athletes or actors? Or musicians?
Actors and musicians, definitely. I've said this so many times. I'm going to say it again. It's one of my more profound thoughts.
Mm.
Because I've dabbled in, I'm in sports for a living, so I understand the athletic condition. And as a guy who's got his band on the side, I kind of see what it's like to make music and that kind of stuff. And how hard it is to make money in music, especially now that there are no albums anymore and the digitalization of media and music and all that. But really, it comes down to this. If you're an actor and if you're really good, you're going to know your lines. You're going to put on a very good performance. If you're a musician and you're not drunk, you're sober, you're on stage, and you're a talented musician with your band, you're going to make good-sounding music. People are going to go nuts. You're a professional athlete. You take the field. You're really good at what you do, enough to make tens of millions of dollars a year. But you're going up against another human being now, and chances are you might be booed when you walk off that field as easily as you might get cheered as you walk off the field. There's the element of you are now taking your skill set, which is being, and you're being extremely well compensated for it because you entertain people, because you help us win, you help our brand, you help us make money, but only if you beat that other guy who's coming at you with the same mindset. That is unique to sports. That's what's so fascinating about sports. That's why the idea of no fans in the stands appeals to me so much, because this stuff all plays into that stuff. When it's me versus you, there's a million different factors that are going to affect the outcome of that. If you're a lead guitar player for the Eagles, if you know what I mean, if you're Joe Walsh, you get on stage and you just rip out your solo to Hotel California and people are like, yeah, right? Okay. That you're not competing against another guitarist.
And also, let's be fair. There are probably hundreds of other guitarists that are just as good as Joe Walsh that just did not have the luck, the circumstance, the happenstance,
no doubt about
the timing to get discovered, to get a big break, whatever. Whereas in athletics, if you're the best at something,
you're going to get there.
You're going to get there. You're going to have the chance to get
so
there.
True.
Acting,
that is so true.
Even more so acting. Acting, I mean, there's so many people that it's all about getting the big break, all about who you know, all being at the right place at the right time, all about being attractive or whatever. And, I mean, that to me seems like so much luck is involved compared to athletics.
That's a good point. And when you think about that, that's because being an athlete is harder than all of it, all of the rest of it. There's a lot of people who have, like, for instance, I tell this story to a lot of different people. The bass player in my band, he had a band many, many years ago, and they put out a CD, and I listened to it, and it blew me away how great it was. And I said, how did you guys not make it? There are a million stories like that. A million. You're right. In sports, if you're a guy and you beat everybody in your path, you're going to make it.
Right.
Because that's what it is.
If you're the best, you're the best.
You're the best, yeah.
Now, there are examples, I'm sure, of all, you know, great players who play in a small college or, you know, play overseas or something, and maybe they don't get discovered and they never get their shot. But that's a lot smaller than in music or in performing arts.
Yeah. So then you factor in the idea that as an athlete, it could be gone tomorrow. You could blow out your knee. You could, you know, an injury could throw you off. You lose the prime of your career, and that's just that. You blow out your knee as a lead guitar player, you'd bring a chair with you.
Right, you sit down.
Right, you sit down. You do it like Axl Rose did. You sing in a chair for a while.
Dave Grohl
did the same.
You could be a drummer, lose an arm, and then still be a drummer.
Still be a drummer in Def Leppard.
If that doesn't stop you, what will?
Listen, to me, there's a psychology to athletics that to me is absolutely fascinating, and it once again is why when you look at so many of the great athletes in history, they're just not normal. They burn hotter. They're different. They're more maniacally motivated and tunnel visioned and focused on one thing. Balance in life is not always an option when you're in that environment. Then you look at other sports like tennis and golf, these individual sports where they're not playing on salaries. They have to go out and make their money. And it's real easy when you become a guy like Phil Mickelson or Roger Federer or Tiger Woods, where you've already got 70 million of endorsements in the bank before you hit a ball.
But that's individual sports. They make their money from endorsements, from sponsorships, from stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and that's so easy to see specifically in tennis, where the same four people win every tournament for the last 20 years. And yet there's still 100 people on the tour somehow making money, somehow still doing it. I always found that crazy.
Yeah, no, it really, really is. It really is. So Patrick Mahomes now, to bring this thing full circle, that it's a gigantic number, and yet the Kansas City Chiefs reacted by going out and buying six bottles of Dom Perignon.
People reacted online saying, oh, the Chiefs got a great deal.
Yeah, they did.
What was Patrick Mahomes thinking?
Well, you know what Patrick Mahomes was thinking. I just signed for $500 million.
Like, it's almost all guaranteed, right?
I don't know what the level of his guarantee is, but it's got to be significant.
That used to be the biggest thing where people would say, all right, don't even look at the full contract. Don't even look at the years. That doesn't matter because all that matters is the guaranteed money. Because, yeah, he signed an eight-year contract, but you know he's not going to see years five, six, seven, and eight of this because they're just going to cut him and it's not going to matter. That's the difference between baseball and football. It is weird now that football and the NBA on yearly salaries have passed baseball, which forever and ever and ever and ever was the high point, you know, the most overpaid athletes, the highest paid athletes per season.
I just think it's a really cool thing that an athlete can get paid this kind of money and the team can celebrate it like it's the greatest thing in the world. That doesn't always happen.
And the
right?
fans, they just gave the fans of Kansas City, they just gave away $500 million in a league with a salary cap to their quarterback for 10 years, a position that, you know, gets hurt a lot. And everyone is ecstatic. Oh, my God, we got the best player for this long. Thank goodness.
Now, also keep this in mind. Patrick Mahomes, there are stats out there that suggest that Patrick Mahomes has never played a bad game in the NFL. Okay, based on ratings, efficiency, all that kind of stuff. And he's played, what, how many, 36 of them, maybe a little more than that? I don't know. But this is a new element now that's going to be factored into everything he does. The money he now makes, how does he handle that? Is he cool with that? There have been a lot of guys who have broken the bank who then try to justify it and flame out.
Yep, on top of being the defending Super Bowl champion next season.
Yeah.
So it'll be a double whammy big season.
Great stuff. All right, coming up on the other side, another round of start, sit, or cut. That's coming up next. We'll be right back.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, front page of ArizonaSports.com. Which mega deal is going to work out better for their respective team? The Angels giving Mike Trout 12 years, $430 million, or the Chiefs giving Patrick Mahomes 10 years, $503 million?
The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. Being that it is almost impossible for Mike Trout to have played better than he already has played in 8 years, and they've done nothing as a team.
Right.
So,
yes, I
agree.
Yeah.
65%.
And we know the impact of one guy in baseball is far inferior to the impact of the right starting quarterback in football, no matter how great that baseball player happens to be.
Which is crazy when you think of how many big contracts players still get in baseball.
Yep.
65% say Chiefs giving Patrick Mahomes 10 years, 503, 35% for Mike Trout.
All right, here's that funky music bet again. Now that marks Jared Carlin's latest brainchild, it is start, sit, cut.
Yes, so I'm going to be in three things, and you'll have to start one, you'll have to sit one, and you'll have to cut one. And it could be literal or it could be, you know, metaphorical for what I'm giving you. And I'll answer it too since Vinny's not here. We'll start off with a sport one. You have to win one game. You have to win one game. Start, sit, cut. Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter.
Start Michael Jordan, sit Tom Brady, cut Derek Jeter. For the very reason I just said.
Of how much impact one player can
have on a baseball game.
And because of that, I'm starting Tom Brady. See, the argument against that is that Tom Brady has lost Super Bowls. Michael Jordan, I guess I got to agree with you. Start Michael Jordan, sit Tom Brady, sit Derek Jeter.
Remind me to tell the story of how Terry Rozier did not know Michael Jordan three-peated twice.
Really? Uh-huh.
No, I'm dead serious.
Okay.
It kind of speaks to the importance of The Last Dance and why it came out when it did. There's a lot of NBA players who don't know what's up when it comes to Michael Jordan.
I agree. I guess I wonder if that educated people as much as we think it did, too. Because it felt like everybody... Boy, does that feel like forever ago that aired? My goodness, that was during this pandemic. Only a couple
I watched the last two episodes again last night. They just happened to be on. I had nothing better to do.
It was really an entertaining, interesting thing.
Yeah,
you almost wish. I hope the guy who made that makes another one. See, it was such a unique situation where they had all that footage from that season that the director didn't have to do anything. It just already done him.
So right.
So that gave him so much stuff to work off of. That's what part of what made it so great and really hard to replicate.
But the Sosa McGuire thing was so bad.
But
by
that's
comparison.
It though. But really, all of them. Like I heard people were disappointed in the Bruce Lee one. They were disappointed in the Sosa McGuire one, like you said. The Lance Armstrong one got mixed reviews, and it's hard to really go after anything after that documentary.
It's true.
Well, since we're talking about movies, when the pandemic is over, start, sit, cut. A crowded bar, a crowded movie theater, a crowded restaurant.
Wow. I would say for me it would be start a crowded bar with live bands, sit restaurant. What's the other one?
Movies. Go to movie theater.
Oh, you know what? I do miss going to movies.
Yeah.
Something fierce. I'm still going to cut movies. I'm not sure I don't know when I'm going to indulge myself into that.
Yeah.
But it's like, I know everyone's the same, but everything I love to do outside of this, I can't do anymore. I can't go see live bands. There are none performing, at least not any with any conscience. And then you've got movies that me and my kids just adored going to movies.
Me too. I love going to the movies. And it's just something. And I've watched movies on demand at home. It doesn't feel the same.
No.
If you're able to pause it and go up and go to the bathroom,
it's
it loses
not the
its,
same.
Yeah,
right.
And the ambiance. So I'm going to vote for, because I love going out to eat. So I'm gonna vote start restaurant, sit, going to the movie theater. And in my younger days, I would have had the bar ranked higher, but I will cut going to a bar.
Okay.
And all right. Specifically, how about food now? Start, sit, cut. Beef, chicken, pork.
Oh, that's good.
And all that, you know, goes with those.
That's, you know, that's
the subcategories.
That's really good. Start, beef, sit, chicken. Although it's very close between the two in my world.
If you're cutting pork, you're cutting bacon, you're cutting sausage.
I'm definitely cutting pork.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sausage, that's bacon, that's pork chops. Okay.
I know what it is. I know, I do. It's all that stuff.
That's right.
Yes, I know.
I'm going to start chicken, which I've been eating a ton of during the quarantine, mostly because it's inexpensive and very versatile.
Uh-huh.
Huh. I do love a steak and a hamburger.
Right. I see, that's the thing. It's... I would say I generally eat more chicken, but I would miss not having beef more, if that makes sense.
Right.
Don't know. Yeah. It's just that occasional hamburger.
Only because it's more versatile with the bacon, with the sausage, with the pork chops and other stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna sit pork and cut beef. Because even now, I probably only eat a steak once every few weeks or something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, though I'd love it.
Uh-huh.
So I think I could live the most without...
Chicken, pork, and you're cutting steak.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
Interesting.
Beef in general, not even just steak. I'm talking about brisket, talking about all beef meatballs. All right. Bands named after animals. Start, sit, cut. The Eagles, Def Leppard, Whitesnake.
You start on this one.
I don't like any of those bands.
That's a very weird trio of bands, but those are named after animals.
Right, named after animals. I was trying to think. I can't even remember what Def Leppard sings and what Whitesnake sings. So I guess I'll start the Eagles, even though I do not like that kind of music, that soft rock.
Yeah,
that's why I never liked U2, never liked Coldplay, never liked any of those kind of bands.
I'll start Def Leppard. I'll sit Whitesnake. I'll cut the Eagles.
Cut the Eagles?
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
That's one of those bands, and maybe you feel the same way, considered an all-time great that people will have at the very top of their list of their favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
That I just don't get.
Yeah. Like I said, they're just a little too soft for my taste.
Yeah. They don't rock.
Right.
And there's I don't know. There's
like
songs
Victim of Love and Witchy Woman, or yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Hotel California. We, know, okay. we don't like right. that one. It's about the devil. We don't like that one. But all right, finally.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of music, start, sit, cut. A great singer, a great guitarist, a great drummer.
Ooh. Great guitarist is definitely start for me. The singer would be second, and the drummer would have to be cut. Sorry, Gary Sanchez.
In a band, though.
Uh-huh.
Can a band be great if, let's suppose they're musically great? You pick guitar number one. Can they be great, though, if their singer is awful?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Van Halen, David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
They're,
Guns N' Roses.
The Doors, Jim Morrison. Yes.
Jim Morrison, though, for what that band was,
yeah, but
was
he's not
perfect.
A great vocalist.
Yeah, but he had a great...
You could fit his range in a phone booth.
But didn't... It didn't... There aren't... Are there even phone booths anymore anywhere? Is that a thing that completely does
People
not exist
People
are going,
what's that, Bickley?
I remember when... I remember when the newest Superman movie came out. People were like, this is a guy who changes in a phone booth and works at a newspaper. Like, how outdated is this character?
Right, yeah. Very.
So I'm gonna vote. Maybe it's because I'm not in the music business, but I'm gonna start a singer, sit a guitarist, and cut a drummer. Can a really good drummer even have that much? A negative or positive effect? They do keep the rhythm of the entire band.
No, but... it's essential. It's essential. You've got to have... No, a drummer is essential to everything. But in terms of impact...
Between a great
one and a
regular
one. A singer's at the front of the stage, a drummer's at the back of the stage.
Right. Sometimes the drummer is the singer. Like Phil Collins
Phil
or
Collins.
Mickey Dolenz.
Right.
All right, that's it. We're out of time. Start, sit, cut.
I like it. All right, coming up on the other side, NFL news to go over. Some hash marks for you. Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
All right, on the list of people who have won the offseason, who have shined during the pandemic, I think Cliff Kingsbury is at the top of the list. His house was a dominant conversation piece during the NFL draft. He's made a lot of the right moves in player relations, giving guys days off to sort out their emotions after the death of George Floyd. He's done a lot of good stuff, and now here comes the latest. Apparently, Cliff Kingsbury said something about Patrick Mahomes in 2018 that is going viral. He basically predicted what has gone down.
Tell me about Mahomes. What's special about him, and how do you think he's going to fare in Kansas City?
Yeah, his arm talent is as good as, I mean, the best I've ever seen as far as just being able to throw from different platforms, different angles, off balance. So I think the sky's the limit. Yeah. I got to watch him 3 years in practice and he just made throw after throw. You're like, how did he do that? I truly believe he'll be, you know, the highest paid player in the history of the game when his contract comes up. I think he's that good.
Wow. That's quite the prediction.
That's so, it feels like one of those fake SportsCenter commercials that they ran during The Last Dance.
It does.
Because that's
you're right.
Such a specific thing to predict.
It is.
Not he's going to be one of the all-time greats. Not he's going to win a bunch of Super Bowls. But specifically to mention that.
When his contract, he's going to become the highest paid player in the history of football.
Right.
You're right. It is such a specific thing to hone in on. And that all went down yesterday.
Right, to predict, because...
Maybe Cliff Kingsbury's been to the future, because look at what he said about Kyler Murray.
That's true. Hmm.
Maybe he's got a book.
It does. That house does look like it's from the future.
It kind of does.
In the future, they do not wear socks, I guess. They just wear short pants with their ankles showing. Normally, in a situation like that, someone would predict, oh, I think he's going to be one of the best players in the game. He's going to be one of the best QBs of all
right.
time. For that specific prediction, it's really weird. And it's cool. It shows he's got great judgment, great eye for talent.
Mm-hmm.
But such a specific exact correct prediction is weird.
Yeah, and to go, you're right, just to go and hone in on the money component of it all, what that tells you is that Cliff Kingsbury saw that level of elite arm talent in Patrick Mahomes that has played out to be exactly what he is. You know what that makes me feel? That makes me feel really good about his evaluation of Kyler Murray. Because his other very famous quote was, I would take this guy with the number one pick. And
That's right. And
behold, that came true as well.
Yeah, my goodness gracious. We need to comb through old interviews of his and see what else he predicted and start making some money off this guy.
I don't know. That's pretty impressive, though, isn't it?
That's really impressive.
Because once again, think about where this guy has come from in terms of perception and credibility inside the NFL. Think about how people scoffed, laughed, thought he was destined to fail. Sean Payton couldn't wait to play him.
Right. He hasn't succeeded.
There's a reason why the Cardinals ran a trick play on the second game from scrimmage against New Orleans that day, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Hopefully that does lead to actual success. We'll see. And it's also interesting that there was people like Cliff Kingsbury saying that 2 years ago about Patrick Mahomes, and yet Mitchell Trubisky still went ahead of him.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, then again, think of what Dabo Swinney used to say about Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I know.
Think about what who coached Lamar Jackson, Bobby Petrino?
Yeah, I think so. I remember you were all over Deshaun Watson, though, weren't you?
Yeah.
A big fan of his in college.
I was.
And you kept saying, like, he had so much success at such a high level in college. How could that not translate?
How does it not translate?
And yet, this maybe is the future of the NFL, that they won't, because if they do change protocol on leading up to the draft, teams won't overthink it so much and reach for Mitchell Trubisky and actually look at what they did on the field and actually look at what they did against good competition and not just try to predict the future, actually look at what happened.
You would like that, but you have to realize, I think, what we're saying. The NFL overdoes everything. Everything from practice times to all of it. Everything they do has been extra, and there's so much fat that could be trimmed from the sport, I do believe, and a lot of it is true in the evaluation as well. It's really derelict when you think about it. Patrick Mahomes went 10th, Deshaun Watson went 12th, Lamar Jackson went 32nd.
Lamar Jackson, you could understand because of the way he plays and stuff.
He was very erratic throwing the ball.
And, you know, we were coming off of Michael Vick, we were coming off of Robert Griffin III, and you still didn't necessarily go all in on these, you know, athletic quarterbacks that move around a lot, have potential to get injured.
Yeah.
But the other two, I mean, I don't know. And the fact that it's one thing to reach for Mitchell Trubisky when nobody had him going that high and you had two other unbelievable quarterback prospects. It's another thing to fast forward 3 years and for those guys to live up to their hype and Trubisky to be already losing his job potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So when it plays out exactly like you in the moment think it will, that's extra bad.
All right. Next item, Bruce Arians. Now, and I almost kind of feel weird saying this, but I know I'm not alone on this. Whenever we have discussed about aging coaches at risk in sports attempting to play during a pandemic, Bruce Arians always comes to my mind because he's late 60s. He has been in very poor health in the past. He's had cancer, and he's beloved. And so you don't want to forecast doom for anyone. But I'm just saying that's always kind of been the name. I'm sure Spurs fans might feel the same about Greg Popovich, and I'm sure there are many other cases. Bruce Arians knows it. He told the Tampa Bay Times, quote, "I've got to be real careful. I'll probably double up with a mask and a face shield, you know, because I already had my scare out there in Arizona a couple of years ago," end quote. So that's going to be interesting. And I think that's, you know, certainly appropriate for Bruce Arians.
I wonder if you can only do so much, I guess, in practice and stuff during a game.
Mm-hmm.
Would there be a possibility he'd coach from a booth instead of on the sideline, in the middle of all the players?
If you're a football coach, you are the leader. And you know how those guys feel about that. They're not going to feel like they're leading from a press box if they're not out in front of their football team. And how is he going to scream at referees from a press box?
Right. Yeah, that is part of the big part.
That's certainly not going to happen.
But he doesn't even call the plays anymore, though. So, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things, again, though, that, like, if they're going through with the games, that means that they're going to be testing everybody. And
yeah.
In theory, on game day, everybody who's playing is healthy.
Right.
So what are the risks anyway?
Yeah, truth. It's, I don't know. Nobody knows. But I think he's one of those guys that needs to take every precaution possible. If I were Bruce Arians, you could certainly coach training camp from the press box. And maybe the Bucs will make him do that. I just doubt any head coach.
What does he mean by a mask and a face shield?
You've seen those
like
shields,
haven't you? Like a welder's mask?
So you've not seen those. Okay, what they are, it's, yeah, basically a welder's thing, but it's a transparent sheet of plastic that goes straight down. And it's like, yeah, it's a double layer of protection.
Interesting.
It's like a hockey shield.
Right.
Very much like a hockey shield. So he's going to wear a mask and one of those. So that's, yeah, he's taking every precaution. I'm just glad personally that Bruce Arians is aware of that and taking those kind of precautions. All right, finally, what do we do with the Deshaun Jackson story? Has anything percolated on that? Because
he's apologized on Instagram. I could play the audio here. He posted, what happened was he retweeted a quote.
A fake quote from Adolf Hitler that Adolf Hitler never even said.
Right.
It was horribly anti-Semitic.
Correct.
And he retweeted it twice.
The second time he tried to clarify.
All right.
The part of the quote that he meant.
Right.
Not the other part. By that point, it's already a losing battle. So today he apologized for everything.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my my Instagram story. I just want to, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because, I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down. And, my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it, and I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm, very apologetic, and I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to be, to put any race down or any religion down.
All right. It became an issue because the Eagles initially only admonished Deshaun Jackson with the caveat that they were going to keep looking into it. And so people said, okay, hold on. How is that cool? How's that okay? When a guy like Drew Brees had to apologize 10 times for what he said. There is a notable backlash to this story that I think I'm going to keep an eye on. I'll also say this. First of all, Deshaun Jackson clearly missed day one of the rookie training symposium where they tell you under no circumstances, quote Adolf Hitler. Under none.
It does not matter what the context is.
None.
It does not matter what your intention is.
No.
It seems like a very simple rule to follow. Do not quote Hitler.
It should be. Do you buy his apology? You're Jewish?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he posted that with the intention of being anti-Semitic.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I think he just is dumb and he didn't.
Okay.
I don't think he probably didn't even read through the whole quote. He only read the part that he was referencing.
That spoke to him.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Whatever.
It's not even a real quote.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy about it.
I know. I agree.
In five
Idiotic.
Seconds, I looked at it and knew that wasn't really a real...
All right. We are halfway there. The Bickley Blast is next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.